What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Scarrett, and I'm with Amy Zander. Amy, how are you on this summer day?
I'm doing good, Kevin. I don't have air conditioning currently in my office, and I'm sitting here in a pool of sweat because I couldn't have fans on for our recording, so I'm super hot right now.
you are super hot.
I know, right? So it's on brand for me.
I am so cool.
Right. I can be hot and you can be cool. There you go.
we had the issue. Francie's up north at the family cottage with her sister, and I'm batching it here this week. So I wake up this morning and the air conditioning was on last night, and it is so humid out that it's like this mist on every single window on the outside.
Right. It's like you're in a greenhouse.
I'm in a greenhouse.
So, yeah. Oh, well, at least you're cool.
some bizarre weather, though. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we have taken a bit of a summer break. We had, obviously, summer activities kind of swept us away. I had a couple of funerals. It's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
we definitely need to catch up. But threw together some notes for a quick podcast, and I can't believe we haven't actually talked about this topic in the past, but why don't we do that right now?
Yeah, sounds good. I'm excited about it because it's just something that we get asked all the time, and it'll be good for our listeners.
Well, let me ask, how many times have you been asked, about us, about Brand Archetypes, the process, where the person says, does this really work? Now, they might not use that same tone of voice.
But
does this really work? Because there's kind of a skepticism when you first hear the concept. It's like, really? Does that really work? I mean, how often does that happen?
Right. And it's so easy. People think that it might not work, right? Well, really, that's all you have to do. And granted, it's a simple concept with an intricate execution, right? But but once I start explaining it, like we have done, over and over on this podcast and things like that, mm-hmm. and use the examples that we're going to talk about here, people, there's like a click and they're like, and then I love when I see that, because then it's like, okay, you got it, you understand why this works,
right? And it's also validating when you can point out dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of examples of people who do it, and they succeed wildly, not just a little bit, not just incrementally more successful than one person versus the next, but the wildly successful people.
Absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I ask this in particular is because, I get the exact question a lot, just like you do. And it's, I think the question is asked way more often, way more than I would expect, and way more than any other question, things that would be, in my mind, more obvious questions, what tactics are going to be best for me? What kind of marketing should I do?
Should I change my logo?
Right.
Yeah.
So after putting a little thought into this, I thought, well, maybe we should be exploring this a little bit more. So what is the essence of why Brand Archetypes work so well? What is it that's actually happening? And related to that, what's the most important thing for business owners to focus on in their marketing? And your thoughts. What are you thinking on this whole simplicity idea?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I say all the time when I'm explaining Brand Archetypes is, when you're a business owner or a marketing executive or whatever, in charge of marketing something, you also have a lot of other things to do, especially when you're a business owner, like, running your entire company. And so many times people think, marketing is this giant thing. I mean, there's social media marketing, there's potential billboards, there's your, you know, brochure, your business cards. I mean, all the things that include marketing, and there's so many moving parts. And so the idea of brand archetypes is you pick the one archetype, the one emotional connection, and that's really all you focus on. So your message is always that message. And that is what makes it so simple. It stops you from having to think about a million things down into just like one core thing. And that's where the beauty of the simplicity.
I think that although that is 110% true, I think that the trap most business owners fall into is they will think that thought will cross their minds, but then their other side of their brain convinces them, oh, no, that can't be true. That's just too easy.
Right.
Nothing's ever that easy. And all this other stuff that I could be focusing on too, that's just as important, right? It's like the devil on your shoulder.
Right. That's true. That's a good analogy.
Yeah, so what happened is I read a blog post recently. It's actually a blog post of an article, Fast Company article from, gosh, nine or almost 10 years ago. And it was an interview with a former ad exec or marketing exec with Procter & Gamble, Jim Stengel. I don't really know anything about the guy other than I read his name in this article. But in the article, he was quoted as saying, and here, I'll just read the quote. A viable brand ideal cuts through the clutter and clarifies what you and your people stand for and believe. The businesses that are driven by a higher ideal, a higher purpose, outperform their competition by a wide margin. So, yeah, close quote. So when I read this, what really drew me in was the phrase, driven by a higher ideal. Now, what does that kind of sound like, right?
You know, right.
That yeah. sounds like archetypes, or probably even more than archetypes. It's the Simon Sinek's value, or the why of why you're in business with Simon Sinek's book. He didn't say that their success was driven by a complex marketing tactic, or that they had intricate social media strategies, or voluminous reams of content that were piggybacked on expensive ad campaigns. He didn't talk about any of that. He talked about companies that drive their marketing with a higher ideal.
Right.
So that kind of drew me in, and that's what kind of prompted me to think about, yeah, we really haven't talked a lot about simplicity and how ultra important it is. So
right.
Yeah. So there is that article, and I sent the link to you, so I'll assume you at least scanned through it a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So okay, so what you were talking about, like how he didn't say their success was all these marketing tactics and social media and blah, blah, blah. But there is a time and place for those things too.
Sure. Absolutely.
Sometimes. Yeah. But I would have to agree with him that the most important thing is to focus on those ideals. So now you and I would use the word focus on the core, or the phrases, I should say, focus on the core ideas of the archetype. And in the context of Simon's book that you mentioned, The Why, we'd say that you should understand your why. And of course, we always talk about authenticity. But all these ideas are from the same side of the coin, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, they're so closely related. They're interlinked. They're twins of each other, really, basically.
Right.
So indeed, yes, I agree. They are all connected to each other. So a super interesting part of the article, they were talking about a consulting business that he spun off right after this article. So he's obviously been running it for 10 years or so. Hope he's succeeding wildly. He was tracking companies that he thought stayed true to his idea of this single idea, this values-driven thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
He called it the Stengel 50. The book, by the way, is called Grow: How Ideals Power Growth and Profit at the World's Greatest Companies.
Okay, so, kind of a long title, but all right.
Kind of a long, it's a sub, yeah. Well, Grow, I think, is the title. I think
yeah,
it's
Grow. Subtitle. Okay. All right. Well.
So you go there,
right.
Mr. Stengel, a four-letter title.
Right.
But he felt compelled. He had to throw in the long
right.
subtitle. That's right. So he outlined how these companies will outperform the S&P 500 by, take a guess, how much, I don't know, did you read it in the article?
I did.
Yeah, 400%.
It's amazing, 400%, that's crazy.
Yeah, so, why not have this be your entire investment strategy.
Right, and use these companies as an example. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, you know, I that kind of perked up my ears and my eyes, you know, bug-eyed out. I'm like, 400%, holy cow. And then I read the list. So the companies, and it didn't have the full list, but it had examples. Coke, Apple, Red Bull, Starbucks, Louis Vuitton. And if you're thinking that those names sound familiar, it's because we use them all the time as examples. So the companies that he's picking as what he defines as is value-driven, we pick for the different reason, but remember it's a sister reason, of following an archetype, the focusing on a singular idea in the way that they develop their brand. So, you know, it's not terribly surprising, but it was definitely validating for sure. You know,
yeah.
It gave me the warm fuzzies. You know?
Right. So, okay. So Stengel talks about this value driven and we talk about the archetypes driven. So are you saying that the focus on an archetype is the same as focusing on a higher ideal?
No. Yes. So, have you ever seen the
Vicar? Oh, Vicar of Dibley. I knew exactly what you were saying. Oh, yeah, yeah, I love that show. Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's so funny.
So for the Vicar of Dibley fans out there, yes, you're welcome. That was Jim. The answer is yes, not no. What I think is these sister ideas that we've been referring to, they're super close related. So what he's talking about with his value ideas, he's saying that it's values driven, and he's using the phrase values because it provides a focus. Well, what's the reason that we suggest archetypes?
To provide a focus.
Focus, right. Yeah, so I think the only difference really is that the archetype is much more focused on a specific emotion, a la Carl Jung's early 1900s psychology and the archetypes and the collective unconscious and all of that stuff, right? Where values could be a much broader definition. It could be just about anything.
I think it's
a deeper idea, but it still could be much broader than an emotion idea. Right?
But I think you could definitely make it a connection. So let's take like The Neighbor, for example, is based on, you know, friendliness, familiarity, trust or whatever. And being friendly and being trustworthy are values, right?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, yes. you could make an argument for that, like, both, you know, that, and we always talk to our clients about the fact that the archetype you pick also has to be in alignment with your company culture, what you find important, like all those things.
Yeah.
So those are like values. So I think definitely it's all in there together.
Yeah, we insist that people are able to embrace the idea that they select. You don't pick something that you can't actually embrace. And by saying that phrase, what you're implying is this has to be true to you. You have to be authentic. You have to be able to embrace this idea that is new to you. But the only way to do that is if it's part of your core, it's part of your ideals, right?
Right. Right.
Okay. So agreed. It's kind of probably important to point out that we think that all of these ideas, everything that we're talking about, should be embraced by all companies.
Large, small, solo entrepreneurs, everybody that's doing any sort of marketing of any sort of service or product.
Yes, absolutely.
So, every company in the world. World domination.
That's right. Well, so just to kind of clarify what those two ideas are, the two ideas are maintain a tight focus and keep things simple. And if you do those things, keep things simple, maintain the focus. And the focus, if it's an ideal, higher ideal, or a higher purpose, or an archetype emotion, I think personally that if you go through the archetype process, you will be forced to pick highly emotion-charged, deep, emotive ideas. Oh, and by the way, there's going to be a ton of values that are kind of...
Right. I mean, you use the word like forced to, but... you could flip it and say you will, you'll choose to, and like, it's not like a chore. I mean, once you do it, everything we promise will get simpler with your marketing. We promise.
Right.
Money back guaranteed.
That is exactly right. So another way of keeping this simplicity idea in your head is to remember, despite your best efforts as a marketer, your tendency is to gravitate to the idea that more is more. Almost all marketers do this. The best ones, especially the ones who kind of really focus on brand strategy, tend not to do this. But as the labor part, the grunt work part of marketers, they go, "Ooh, we need more ad campaigns. We need more banners. We need more, you know, social media. We need more content. We need more web pages. We need more landing pages. More." Right? Because more parts gives you more to work with. It gives you more tactics, more features, more campaigns, more benefits, more to draw on, the better. Right?
Well, it can be, but as long as all of them have the same focus, like you're not going to do one ad that's funny and one ad that's serious and what, you know, it's, as long as you're doing all those things.
Right. And, well, so my point is as marketers, we're drawn to the idea more is more. But let's now really, and here's the rub, here's the point. If you think about the consumer, what's in their head? Less is more. I don't want more. I don't want super complex stuff thrown at me. I don't want to have to try to sift through stuff. I don't want to have to understand something. I don't want to read pages and pages of stuff. Just give me the skinny, give me what I need to know, and let me move on with my life. That's the consumer, right?
Right.
So it's not just a little bit more that they want less of.
Right.
They want a ton less. It's way more important. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a, but if I can throw in an example right here. I have a company I'm working with right now, and they are a like concrete company, and they're trying to switch to just doing a way more concrete ceiling. Mm. And I know way more about concrete and ceiling than I thought I ever would, by the way.
But I had a concrete client and I felt the same way.
It's really amazing. That is one thing I like about marketing is that I learn all these cool things about all my clients. It is very interesting. Right. But they have a guy on their team who is, he's like the guru of the whole team, right? He's super technical. He's been in the business forever. He knows all the chemistry and science behind all the stuff. And we're trying to make these Google campaigns for them. And because we're trying to look at homeowners and business owners that need to seal their driveways and sidewalks, right? Mm-hmm. And all they really need to know is water and salt is bad. Seal your concrete. Really, that's all they need to know, right? And it'll extend the life of your concrete, save you money. But he wants to like redo all these ad campaigns to like put all the science behind it and the chemicals they're using and all this stuff. And we're just like, people don't care. They just want to know that their concrete's going to look good.
Yeah.
It's like,
I mean, that's really even more important than the salt and moisture and all that. It needs to look good.
I know.
That's really the bottom line, right?
And he's so amazing, and it's so, and I don't want to like ever like step on his toes because he does have, and the company is so lucky to have him because he's so knowledgeable. But it's like,
and it comes out as passion, right?
It does, for sure. And but we're just like, no. I mean, every time he gets involved, it gets so complicated.
Right. What you mean? Not everybody wants to talk about the chemical properties of concrete curing?
Right. I know. And I go to lunch with him once in a while just so we can talk about ideas for the company, and it's always like a 3-hour lunch, and I'm like, okay, I am now brain numb from the information from you just gave me. He's
put
such
me
a nice
mixer.
Guy. If he's listening, which he's probably not, but he's a super nice guy. The company's really lucky to have him, but
good.
You know, yeah.
Okay, so really kind of the bottom line there is the simpler you can make things for the consumer, the better, because the consumer doesn't want to know all about that concrete stuff.
Right.
And again, this will definitely rub up against your natural instincts. If you're a marketer and you're listening to this, you're going to want to pile more into the mix and just don't do it. Back away from the computer, right?
Right.
So, Amy, how do you think business owners should start on this new path to simplicity?
Well, I think it's a matter of getting used to it, and we could call it like a matter of conditioning, right?
Yeah, so like to make things full and luxurious, you know, like
like your hair, Kevin?
Like,
no. Well,
yes,
only
like
if you're selling.
My hair is not so luxurious anymore, but it used to be.
No. Like, unless you're selling shampoo. But
no,
not your hair. Your approach to marketing.
Okay.
So let's say you're in the middle of writing copy for a web page or creating a social media ad campaign. Doesn't matter what the task is. There's just words that you're, you know, putting down. Mm-hmm. So here are the things that you should be asking yourself. Is this true to the archetype I've selected? Mm-hmm. Is this simple to understand? And is it powerfully emotive? Mm-hmm. And does this match our corporate ideals? Right? Okay. So those are the first three.
I'd be willing to even stop right there if I don't know, get more.
Well, on the flip side, your answer should not be, no, it focuses more on the product features, or this piece has more, lots of moving parts, or this piece is completely different than other pieces we've created in the recent past. So it's great because it's different.
I think if we could wave a magic wand and get every single company in the world to just ask those three things. So let's go through them again.
Again, world domination with brand archetypes.
Right? So is it true to the archetype? Is it simple to understand? It was the second one, right?
Yep.
And does it match our corporate ideals? We're throwing that one in because of Mr. Stengel's input.
Right.
It's the same deal, right? So
right.
Archetype, simplicity, and ideals.
And emotion. Yeah.
If you were to ask that every single time you create something that you put out to the public, and it becomes a knee-jerk mental process so that you catch stuff without even thinking about it.
Right.
Wow, what a beautiful thing that would be.
Yeah. You know those bracelets that were popular for a while that was like WWJD, like what would Jesus do? I feel like we should make bracelets for our clients, like when they pick an archetype, like what would the mother do? What would the guru do? What would the jester do? And they can like have it sitting on their desk or their on their arm to remember all the time, like ask that question.
WWBA do.
Yeah. What would brand archetypes do? There you go.
Or right. BA could be badass. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I like that. It's interchanged. Yeah. Okay. So coming soon, swag bracelets for
swag what bracelets.
Would, what would brand archetypes do?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Well, that was kind of fun.
Definitely
getting down to the gist of that. And boy, I could not mean this anymore. If a person just popped into this podcast for the very first time, they've never listened to anything of ours in the past, you can skip the last 67 episodes if you just listen to that one little section.
Go back and listen to them because they're fun.
Yeah, please do. Please do, because they're just as fun as this one. So
yeah. No, okay, but this is definitely good. So, yeah.
Definitely good stuff. So, Amy, give us a wrap-up.
Yeah, so I'm going to veer a little bit from our normal wrap-up today, and I'm going to tell you everybody who's in Michigan, mid-Michigan. So Zedia Media, which is my company, has a marketing summit coming up May 6th of 2022. So it's a few months off, but it is not too early to buy your tickets to the summit. We have early bird pricing right now. They're $60 and they're going to go up in a couple months to $75. But it's a whole entire day right here in Lansing of lots of marketing professionals from the area. There's going to be 16 talks to choose from. The keynote address by me is going to be all about brand archetypes. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have giveaways, lots of prizes. There's a grand prize worth $15,000, which is a complete company rebrand. Wow. So somebody can win that. Yeah, so it's going to be amazing. So if you're in the Lansing area or going to be in the Lansing area May of next year, you can go to zediamedia.com and check out the summit information, get your tickets there. And we're also accepting submissions for speakers. So we have a few lined up, but we're looking for some more. So if you're a marketing expert and you have a particular topic you want to talk about, you can pitch your idea and we'll see if we like it. So again, that's Zedia Media, ZEEDIAMEDIA.com. And you can find all the information out there.
So if I know the owner of Zedia Media and have a Barry White voice, does that give me bonus points on being a speaker?
It might.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, awesome.
If you liked what you heard here, please follow the Brand Archetypes podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have a campaign or an overall brand strategy that just seems like it's too complicated, you need help, we'd love for you to reach out to us and share your ideas. We can give you our 2 cents or our $10 worth, because we talk about this stuff endlessly. And certainly if you're struggling with something that, there are tons of others out there that could benefit from the insight too. So we'd really love to help you. And maybe we can even get you on our podcast to talk about what you've got going on. We'd love to do that too. So you can follow us on all the social media at Brand Archetypes. And of course, visit brandarchetypes.com to find out all about the archetypes and take our free questionnaire to see which archetypes your company is most in alignment with.
That was a doozy of a wrap up. Thank you.
It was. I'm getting good at it.
We will talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Bye, Kevin.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.